All right, amen. Well, I'm excited about tonight. If you were going to share, would you come up and just kind of like line up here? We had about five or so folks that had some testimonies. And so a couple instructions as we share tonight. Try to get the mic close to your mouth and speak clearly. I was told to tell you all that. So speak clearly, loudly, so everyone can hear. So it's been a great series. We have been, like all you know, we've been going through the values, our church values. And the idea is really to kind of have our new teachers sharing our values fresh, some of the scriptural principles that have really guided us as a church over the years. And I just have loved the teachings as the guys have prepared for them. And we kind of had three different spheres, if you notice. So we started off with the knowing God, relationship with God sphere. And then we moved into community. So we started talking about what it is to be the people of God, what it is to walk in community. And then we finished up with the mission, right? I want to read to you all the teachings just so that you have them in the back of your mind as we go through here. But when we started off with knowing God, okay? So that was the beginning. And then we went through really the Trinity. So we talked about the fatherhood of God. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And then we moved, right, after we're talking about Christ, we moved into the community, and we talked about the family of God was one of the teachings. And then we talked about community being the body, being like a body, right? Then we talked about the one another's, the positive one another's, and then we talked about the negative one another's. And then we moved into the mission, and we talked about seeking first the kingdom of God. Remember Kenton's teaching on seeking first the kingdom of God. Then we talked about evangelism, discipleship, and then church planting. So we covered, can you imagine, we covered a lot of ground over these weeks. So these are folks that just had big things on their heart from those teachings, and so we wanted to hear them. If anybody who did not sign up to share anything and you something it stirs in your heart as we're sharing, feel free to come up. But can we start on this side and kind of work our way down over here? Does that work? Well, you can finish this up, and then I'll do communion after that. All right. You guys excited to hear? Awesome. All right. Let's go.
What I have to share has to do with evangelism and just being wholeheartedly captured by that high calling to participate with the Lord in reaching the lost. And I really appreciated Matt's teaching on evangelism. And while he was teaching, this verse came to my mind, and I've just been mulling it over ever since. And the verse is from Ecclesiastes 11:1, and it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and in a few days it will return to you." And of course, what that's talking about is, we all know, if we have a few pieces of bread and we throw them in a lake or we throw them in the pond, that's not going to return to us as food that we can eat. But as it enters the ecosystem, it becomes part of the process that then goes on to grow and produce something that's usually much greater and longer lasting than what those few bites of food would have been for us. And so thinking of that in relation to just giving our lives wholeheartedly, generously, without reserve, to partnering with the Lord and giving what it takes to really reach the lost and share and welcome them into our homes and open up our lives to them and give of our time and our resources and our energy, knowing that those things are not going to return to us in the same form. But when we are partnering with the Lord, even the potential for him to, through us, reach a lost and a dying soul with his life and with his love is just of so much greater eternal worth and eternal value than what any of those small, momentary, sort of earthly sacrifices or inconveniences are for us. And so I think I've just been, reminded of what a privilege it is to join with the Lord in that, in what he's doing to reach souls for his kingdom. And then also, I think I've just been kind of stirred with a new eagerness to live purposefully and generously without reserve in that way. I guess for me at least, I think there's even just a comfortability that can come with getting sort of locked into the daily routine of our own life. And life is full, and with young kids, life is full, and even our church community life is very full, and I think it is easy to forget to lift our eyes above that and remember that alongside of those things, a huge part of who the Lord wants us to be as his people are those who are joined with him in giving ourselves to reaching the dying world that's around us. So I just feel a renewed excitement and readiness to, I guess, just to freely cast my bread and expectantly wait and see what the Lord does. So.
Check, check. All right. I was talking with Victor about this last night, and I said I'd be around 5 minutes. We're going to see if that happens. It'll be a miracle if it is. I don't know what you're saying. I just want to talk about the goodness of knowing God. Matt Hellman gave a great sermon on knowing God and just the goodness of it. And I just want to share out of a personal testimony from my life. Last June in 2024, I fell into a deep depression. It was a very difficult time in my life. It was from about June to April of 2025. I got a lot of help from within the body and from outside of the body. But ultimately, you know, the struggle that I had was truly between me and God. I just had a deep pride that was kind of rooted within my just understanding of life and who and what I was. And, you know, through that whole time, I was just struggling, and I couldn't understand how God's goodness alone was kind of like the point or end to me being alive. It's not like I hated God, but I just couldn't stop wrestling with him. And I reached a point where I was just praying consistently that he would just win. That he would just overcome and he would break the spirit that I had that was keeping me from him. And I also just want to share a testimony of the goodness and the power of prayer, because Sunday night, like the Sunday before my birthday in April, it was the women's retreat, and my mom stood in my stead to receive prayer just against fear and anxiety. And I can just testify that night, God revealed himself to me in ways that I've never experienced before. The goodness of God was just washed over me, and I just woke up baptized in a new life and a new goodness and a new joy. And that depression and that demonic oppression that I was going through, it was wiped away, and that stronghold was removed. And in that season, I had to learn and let go of my feelings and persist in faith, because I knew God was good, even if I couldn't feel him. And I recognized that I was completely at God's mercy and God's grace for any chance or hope of change within my being. And, you know, he was there for me. I drew near, and he drew near to me. And, church, I just want to say I made it. I made it. And I hope to encourage you all of just the goodness of God, and that it just makes everything worth it. It makes everything worth it. And Matt Hellman was, from his teaching, he said, you know, the goodness of God and everlasting life isn't about quantity, it's about quality. And I can testify to you, when I was in the pits of it, when I was completely detached from God and his goodness, it's a night and day difference. So I would just encourage you all to persist in faith, to persist in patience into the goodness of God and the truth that you know, even if you can't perceive it or experience it, and you will make it to the other side. And it's so, so good. I just have two verses I want to read real quick. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it's wrestling with a lot of questions that I was wrestling with. And in the end, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But in 1 John 5:3, this idea is like kind of like built on, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so I just want to declare to you all, church, God is so, so, so good, and he loves us so much, and he wants us to walk with him and be with him, not only for his glory, but our good and our gain. And if anyone is just struggling, or if anyone will be in a season of struggle, I just hope that this encourages you and brings remembrance to your mind of the goodness of God and his love for us and how wonderful it is.
I just wanted to speak about when Dan taught about God, the church being the family of God, and I just wanted to give a testimony of my experience here at LCF, and I just want to praise God because I want to read this scripture here. Hang on just a second. All righty, this is Psalm 68. Verses 5 and 6, a father to the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That is a scripture that really speaks to my situation. It was really neat when Dan was talking about his experience with LCF in the beginning when he realized that he really saw the love of God here. And I want to build on that, and I kind of want to build on what you said, Luke. You know, God is faithful, and he will bring us through. I came into LCF in 1979. I know a lot of you probably don't even know what that year is. You weren't even here then. You weren't even a glimmer in your daddy's eyes. So, but anyway, I came here to Lexington out of Berea College. I graduated from Berea College in 1979. And I knew the importance of being a part of a church. As a matter of fact, the group that I was with at Berea, the fellowship that I was with, one of our teachings was that God will put you in the church that he wants you in. It's not you going around and finding a church you like. God wants to put you in a church where he wants you to be. And my prayer when I left Berea, I knew I was coming to Lexington, but that's about all I knew. My prayer was that God would put me in the church that he wanted me to be a part of, because I knew he wanted me to be in a church. And it was really amazing. It was really miraculous how it worked out. I actually met Ron and Mary Jo Schwartz in Berea when I was still a student. They were with Youth with a Mission, and their ministry with Youth with a Mission brought them down to Berea to support our fellowship down there. So I met them even before I even knew I was coming to Lexington. And they weren't even married yet. But my prayer during that final spring semester and that summer of 1979 was that God would find a church for me. I met Brent Henderson before I came to this church, before I came to Lexington. I met Billy Henderson before I came to Lexington. And I really felt, I knew that, I found out that Billy was kind of like the leader of a student Bible study at UK. It was a lot like the group that I was in Berea. And I met with Billy one evening, and we prayed about it. I told Billy that I thought the Lord was calling me to be a part of that group. And we prayed about it, and we both felt that that was the Lord. That was from the Lord. And so when I moved up to Lexington that fall, I knew exactly. I knew I was going to room 245 at the old student center on Friday nights. So that's where I went. And this church, you know, that scripture that I read says the God puts the solitary in families. And that's exactly what he did with me. He put me in this family. This is my family. I've been here, 45 years? 46 years? Is that how long that is? 79 to 25? Yeah, it's 79 to 29 would be 50 years. So I've been here for 46 years. And, you know, you're my family. I mean, I know it says you can't choose your family. That was true. I did not choose this church. God put me here. And I am so blessed. I am so glad that he did. And I hope you guys are glad that he did too.
I wrote mine down so I wouldn't ramble. Okay, so this summer, God has been showing me a lot of areas in my heart that are not like his. And this has been really encouraging to me because I know that the hand of the Holy Spirit is on me, revealing these things to me and replacing them with the love of God. If it wasn't the hand of the Holy Spirit, then he wouldn't be showing me these things. Like, I don't need to see those things. So I'm very encouraged by it, but through that, I've just been really blown away by how great the love of God is for all of us. So it's hard to explain all that God is showing me, but I have seen areas of insecurity, envy, and comparing myself to other people in my heart. And so I think without even realizing it, I often compare myself to other people and determine if I am better or worse than they are. And if I believe that they're worse than me, I get all puffed up in pride. And if I think that they're worse or better than me, then I get really discouraged. And that makes me feel like I need to work harder and do better in my pursuit of holiness. So I was really encouraged. So God's been showing me all of this this summer. And so I was really encouraged on Victor's teaching on judging not and showing no partiality. So during his teaching, he said something along the lines of God bought us all with the same price, that we cost him all the same thing. And I just have been repeating that phrase over and over in my mind. And so now, like, when the Holy Spirit is shining light on a way that I'm comparing myself to others, I try to quickly, like, confess that to God. And he has been really faithful to replace my incorrect judgment of people with his love for them. And I've been really amazed at how great God loves people. He is continually reminding me that he made people in his image, and he loved them so much that he sent his son for them. And it just, like, hits me in that moment that I, like, recognize I'm judging, and then God's like, no, this is how I think about this person. And it's just... it's so beautiful to see because his love is so great. And so I think this has done two big things in my life. First, I think it has really helped me to understand God's love for me, God's love for his people. And then second, it really is setting me free from pride and insecurity and that feeling that I need to work to, like, earn God's love. That he has given it freely to all of us equally. He loves us all equally. And so, glory be to God.
So, I was actually going to, what was on my heart at first, I thought, was to share about the fatherhood of God. But it sounds like Luke and Amber, y'all kind of touched on that. And then, so I was just opening up to the Lord today and say, God, hey, can you, if you want me to share something, maybe if it's not the fatherhood of God or nothing at all, it's fine. But then I felt like the Lord wanted me to share about evangelism. And I kept thinking about Kenton's message. And basically, I guess we could sum up Kenton's message was that we need to be open to the Holy Spirit moving more in our personal lives or in the church. Or he brought up about Philip being called by the Holy Spirit to go witness to the Ethiopian, I think. Just basically being more open to the Holy Spirit moving in our church, and individually, corporately, at a meeting or wherever. And so I got thinking about that, and I hope that if nothing else, I can encourage one person tonight in evangelism, or even myself. So that's why I wanted to get up and talk. But I was really encouraged by Kenton's message, and it really blessed me. So as a new believer, early on, I felt called by God to be involved in evangelism. I remember the scripture that it popped off the page, you know, that how that happens when you're a new believer, to go and preach the gospel to everyone everywhere. And I, at the time, was unchurched. I really wasn't around a pastor. I was just reading it by myself, and actually in the dorm, in the basement of a dorm. And I remember reading that and thinking, man, we're called, you know? And so from that time on, I guess about 40 years, I have been involved in sharing the gospel. So we, there was a group of us involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a couple guys that actually had been in this church. We were involved with sharing the gospel with different people. And I ended up somehow meeting a young guy that lived in Hagen Hall. And James Leitch and I were trying to reach out to him to get him into home group. And so I was kind of working with Jimmy, and I'm the follow-up guy. And I went back one night to see him, and his roommate, I knocked on the door, and his roommate came, and he said, man, he's not here. And he said, you haven't heard? And I said, no. He said, he passed away. So I was a year old in the Lord, and what had happened, unfortunately, he was going home on the Bluegrass Parkway and had an asthma attack, and went off the road and hit a tree and died. And I found out that night, though, thank the Lord, that his roommate said, hey, he is a believer. He had given his life to the Lord at a youth camp or something. So I was really relieved for him. But it really did something inside of me. And I remember praying and walking back, just tore up about it. And I said, God, if there's anybody on campus that's getting ready to die, you know, lead me to them, or lead somebody to them. And so I can't remember the timing, but I don't, you know, Joe Olagus, you know, he and I and a couple other dudes, we did some kind of wild stuff in evangelism. It's fun stuff, really. But, you know, and not just us, but we would preach downtown at that Triangle Park, and we preached one time at the fraternity house on the corner of Woodland, and they used to call it the Six Pack, and they called the police on us, and the fraternities did, and the police came up to us and was kind of giving us a hard time, and they said, what are y'all doing? And we said, well, we're preaching against, you know, people getting drunk, you know, and the policemen didn't know how to handle it, because they didn't want people to get drunk, especially the fraternities that we were preaching to. So it was just really funny, but sorry. All right, so I was walking with the Lord, and I appreciate your encouragement a lot, Sarah, of just trying to be faithful to sharing the gospel. And I was opening myself up to the Holy Spirit to speak to me about who to share with. And I promise you, there has been a lot of times that I've shared that probably the Holy Spirit didn't lead me to do it. But I'm, you know, I've tried, you know, but this particular time, I was walking into one of the cafeterias, and I felt led really quick to share with this guy. And so it's kind of it was, you know, those moments are kind of crazy because you're embarrassing them and you're kind of putting yourself out on a limb. But anyway, I said, hey, are you a believer? And he looked at me and said, well, I don't know. And we started talking, and we were around like 10 different other college students walking by. And we just had this little small conversation, and I told him where I lived at the time, which dorm. I went to eat lunch. He left. And it was the last day of the spring semester. It was the last day of finals. So the next day, the campus is dead. And at 11:30 that night, there's someone knocking on my door, and it's this guy. His name was Rod McCravey. He said, "Hey, I want to give my life to Jesus." So I'm a new believer, and I haven't really shared the gospel that much, really, you know. And I'm just floored and just thrilled, too. So I think Joe and I were, well, Joe was there. Joe and I were roommates at the time. So we lead this guy to the Lord. The fall semester comes. I didn't know this at the time, but he ran track. I was playing football. And one day, I remember walking back from class or going to practice or something, and all these track people, and I remember these girls were crying. And Rod had died in the middle of the night at 4:30 in the morning. And I was blown away by it. But then I remember back to that prayer of God, if there's anybody on campus that's going to pass away, you know, let's get them to know you. And the African-American athletes, I think mainly men, there's a heart ailment or a heart abnormality, and he had that, nobody knew, and he died. This year was the 30th anniversary of the Rod McCravey UK Track Invitational. And so I didn't even know him, but apparently there was a lot of, appreciation and esteem from UK, the track team, and they started an invitational, and every year they have that. And so why I'm sharing that is because I want to encourage us that the Holy Spirit is moving all the time. Matt, I remember you said, I think that you shared with Matt Schaefer something really quick, right? That, hey, don't you love, Jesus, right? Or something like that. Which I think that was the Holy Spirit leading you to do that, you know. And I think that we all have testimonies. I love the testimony about the atheistic Jew that everybody reached around to, you know. I mean, the Holy Spirit is moving. And I think a lot about the Holy Spirit in creation. I heard this in a sermon that the Holy Spirit was there like hovering over the earth, you know, and being involved in the process. And I think that the Holy Spirit's involved every day, all the time, in the process of people getting saved. And he's always trying to birth people in the kingdom. And he's looking for us, all of us, to be a part of his work, reaching out to these people that need to come into the family, Chris, that are solitary, that need to come in, that need to know the goodness of God and the love of God. And, you know, there's times that I know there's been a lull in my life of, you know, I'm so busy working, somebody's doing this and doing that. And before you know it, it's be months, you know, it's like past that I haven't shared the gospel. And it's like, come on, Kurt Iden, you know, you're called to do this, get with it, you know. And so if nothing else, this will be an encouragement for me. But I just want, you know, again, I just want to encourage us. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved with our church meetings, our home groups, our lives, and individually, in our daily walk, at our workplace, and he's always working. There's something that he's doing, and we just got to join in with him and be a part of the process. And he's going to see he will bring people in. So, amen. Yeah. So, does anyone else here want to pray? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. You'll go.
How far down can I get this? I didn't say I was going to share anything, but I really wanted to share. I have something to say about, kind of mixes into the word about the church being a body, and then also about spiritual gifts. And then also addresses the question that came up in the Tuesday night meeting, church people and B-list church people. I wanted to say everybody in here is anointed by God with spiritual gifts, and he wants you to grow in those spiritual gifts. They're not for just the leaders, they're for each one of us. And God did not create you to be a B-list churchgoer. He paid the same price for each one of you, and we need to, A, treat people that way. I realized people in high school that I'd put on the B-list, and they shared at the meeting how they felt like they were on a B-list, and I realized that I don't know what I did in high school to make them feel like they were on the B-list, but I probably did, just knowing me and my sins and my flaws. And I pray that God will help me never to do that again, and pray that God will help me maybe to help somebody else not to do that again. And then the second point is, you are not on a B-list. Nobody here is on a B-list. Everybody here is paid for by the blood of Jesus. Everybody here is equipped with everything they need to be a part of the church, be the part of the body that they're equipped to be. And it doesn't matter if you're a foot and you think the eye is cooler, you need to get over that. That's just a lie of Satan. But I think that's all I had to share. I just wanted to encourage everybody.
Lift this up a little bit because I'm taller than Catherine. Ha. Okay. yeah. So I wasn't planning on sharing until like 10 minutes ago whenever I was looking through my notes. And I was like, oh, wait, that's really cool. I should share about that. But it was one of, I think it was the first sermon of this series, but it was about knowing God, and it was from Mr. Hellman, and I don't even remember him saying this, but I wrote it down in my notes, and it was like if you take any sermon and you try to apply it to your life, like apart from knowing God, like without knowing God first, then it'll just feel like a burden, and it'll make you, you know, it won't be the right heart. And I realized that I had kind of done that, like, all throughout my life. I kind of just, like, you know, I didn't really realize it, but I was kind of just like, oh, I'm a Christian because I feel, like, not necessarily pressured to be, but just because that's who everyone else in my life was. Everyone else in my life was a Christian, and so I was like, hey, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that, too. and so I guess that, like, in my, like, walk with God, I knew God, and I knew that he loved me, and I had experienced his love in a lot of ways, but one thing was that I knew that I was also missing the mark, and the question was I aiming for it in the first place? And so I think that, like, even knowing God, even in knowing God the way that I thought, like, was the right way to know God, I still wanted to do my own thing. And so this past summer, I had a week at a camp at Asbury where it was dedicated to, like, learning about God and deepening our relationship with God. Or starting one if we didn't have one already. And that week, I learned a lot, like, about God, and I could have walked away from that week perfectly happy, having just learned about God, but God wanted to do more in my life. And so the last night there, we had worship, and it was just during one of the songs that I remembered several months ago, whenever I was really struggling, God asked me, do you love me? And I couldn't answer it. And I was, you know, it was a burden. It was a guilt, and it was a shame that I couldn't answer it. And so I made myself forget about it, but that night I remembered again. And, you know, the closest thing, I mean, like, I knew that God loved me, but I just, for some reason, couldn't really say it back. But that night was the first night that I was able to say, God, I love you. And just in the moment that I did, like, the switch in my heart towards God and in my relationship with God, it was almost like night versus day. And ever since then, I've just been like so excited to be a follower of God and so excited for what he has planned for my life. And so I just can't wait to follow God wherever he takes me, because I truly love him so much. And I never knew that, you know, knowing God, like, this is what knowing God means. And that's like been like, it's been amazing, you know. So, you know, these past few months ever since that night have just been completely different in my life. And I still have, you know, struggles and hard things are still there. But it's so different whenever, like, I love God and I know God. And so, yeah.
I wasn't on your list, Victor, sorry. I wanted to share a little bit about evangelism as well. I'm among giants in evangelism, Kurt, Clark, and Val. You daily live it. But you know, we have a prodigal. My heart breaks daily, and I'm living a nightmare. So if you ask me what's the worst thing that could ever happen to me, it's where I am right now. But what I'm sharing with you is that God has brought some good things through it. Because I think about how my heart breaks for Millie. And I think my heart should be breaking like that for every person that's walking apart from him. And I would encourage you to think about that. About the people that you come in contact every day. That is facing eternity without God. It's not something to take lightly. And you might be the instrument of grace that God wants to use to save somebody's daughter. So I just want to encourage you.
In a minute, yeah. I want to, like, this is a, let's, I really believe in the power of prayer. And when the people of God pray, that God hears us, and God has the power to reach down and grab hold of Millie. And I want to stand with you and your family, and just with all of us here together. I know you've made a lot of prayers for Millie, but I want to pray with you tonight. Would you all join me as we pray tonight, God? Lord God, thank you for this testimony, God, just a call to your church to recognize the significance of evangelism, God, how that you have given us your gospel, you've given us your Holy Spirit, and it's powerful. It transforms, it breaks down walls, it breaks down bitterness and hate and separation and loneliness and fear. God, your gospel is powerful. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand with the German family right now, God. And we cry out to you, Father God, creator of the heavens and earth. You know where Millie is right now, Father God. We ask that you would come and move on her behalf, God. You are a long-suffering God who loves faithfully, who never gives up. You are a good Father. You created Millie with a destiny to know you, Father God. And nothing can stand in the way of that, God. And so we ask that you would begin to break down whatever stands between her and yourself, that you would send your Holy Spirit to convict and to draw, that you would send people to express your love and your gospel to her, Father God, and that you would bring her back to her family, Father God. And we are going to stand with the Germans as long as it takes, God, till Millie comes and returns to you and feels your warm embrace and the love that you have for her, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Do you want to share something?
Yeah.
I guess what I wanted to say kind of speaks to what, Kathy, what you're talking about. This has got to do with evangelism, and I remember when Matt Hellman was sharing, when he was teaching about evangelism, when he was sharing his experience when he was in that mall, and that guy came up to him and asked if he wanted to talk about Jesus Christ. And he just blew the guy off. He just blew him off, but that name stuck in his mind. He couldn't get the name of Jesus out of his mind. He couldn't stop thinking about Jesus after that guy spoke to him. And that, I've always believed that the name, the very name of Jesus, is powerful. The Bible says it's the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. And it gave me a lot of encouragement, because I'm one of those people that go out and share, and most of the time nobody responds. You know, they don't want to talk. You know, they blow me off, just like that, just like Matt did to that guy. But it really encouraged me, because I'm thinking, maybe that happened to somebody that I, because I come up to people and I say, can I talk to you about Jesus Christ? Maybe that happened to them. Maybe there's people around here that says, this guy came up to me in Fayette Mall one time and asked me if I wanted to talk about Jesus Christ, and I just blew him off. But I couldn't get the name of Jesus out of my mind. Praise God. And Matt is living testimony about that. Matt and his family and his life. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Can we give all of these testimonies a hand? Praise the Lord for this. Yeah, it's awesome. Great. Just to kind of wrap that up, I want to just, you know, speak some truth about the Word of God. The Word of God is a sure foundation. The Word of God is a rock. It does not change. It does not shift. It is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be in the future. And this is a church that stands on the Word of God. And I hope these testimonies prove that out to you. Those people that stand on the Word of God, no matter what's happening around them, they are secure. They are safe. They walk in the grace and the peace and the power of King Jesus. And that is what this church is going to do. We're going to walk, we're going to live, we're going to breathe in the Word of God. Amen.